From Yellowstone National Park, this is What We Do. I'm Brett Rayburn.
And I'm Miles Barger.
So I have a quick question for you before we get started on this week's episode. Have you ever hiked with a llama before?
I have not hiked with a llama before.
Is that because you don't want to, or is that because you've never had the opportunity?
I think it'd be awesome. I've never had the opportunity. I've definitely seen them around at other parks, but I've always wanted a trail goat. You know, that's a thing. Some people hike with trail goats. Yeah.
So wait, hold on. So what? All right, explain this really quickly before.
No, I've seen people in like national forests. They'll have, you usually need at least two because they're herd animals. And they can carry up to like 50 pounds each. So you can use them as kind of mini pack animals. But you don't have to put them on a string and they just gather at night. Anyway.
What a chick magnet that would be. That'd be a conversation starter right there. Well, so my trivia question today doesn't have to do with goats. It does have to do with llamas. So do you know how many llama outfitters currently have contracts to do business in Yellowstone National Park?
I do not. I will guess 11.
It's actually three. So, you had a string of doing really well on these trivia questions that might have come to an end here.
Failure.
So there are three outfitters currently that would let you go hiking with a llama. So it's possible. Maybe a bucket list item here. Our guest this morning is someone who probably would have known the answer to that question. So she's Becky Wyman, a concessions management specialist here at Yellowstone National Park. Becky, have you ever hiked with a llama?
I have not.
No? So it sounds like we need like a work trip.
I think so.
To come out of this summer, because I love nothing more than hiking and not carrying my own stuff.
That sounds quite nice.
That sounds awesome. Well, it's awesome having you here today. So we didn't invite you here to just talk about goats and llamas exclusively. Although, you know, if they come up more, I'm totally fine with that. We invite you here because you have a super important job in the Park Service that most visitors would know nothing about. You work a lot behind the scenes. And before we get into the details about what you do, as a concessions management specialist, actually, could you give us like an overview of what concessioners and what CUAs, commercial use authorization holders, like what are all of those things? Because a lot of listeners probably just have no clue what that is.
So our office oversees all of the commercial operators in the park. We have category 1, 2, and 3 contracts, plus our commercial use authorization program. The category 1 contracts include our large concessioners, currently Zantara, Yellowstone General Stores. They do the lodging and retail type of operations in the park. We also have our service stations. Our CUA program oversees or has our fishing guides, photo tours, environmental education tours, that sort of scope. And then we have our category 2 and 3 contracts, which include our over snow operators in winter. We have a bear spray rental. We have stock outfitters that do day and overnight trips in the park.
Llamas.
That include our llamas, as well as a ski camp in winter that is located at Canyon.
Awesome. So the Park Service doesn't actually have, like, we don't run hotels or things like that.
That is correct. We have contracts that allow other operators to run those, and we oversee those contracts.
That is a lot. How many are there? Just like a rough ballpark. It's always changing, right? The number.
Well, all of our contracts pretty much stay the same. We have the three large category 1 contracts. Like I said, the hotels and retail general stores and our service stations. We have 38 stock contracts that include the three llamas. We have 23 over snow contracts and 1 bear spray rental. And then I believe the number of CUAs exceeds 400.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yes. That's a lot that you're overseeing out of the concessions office.
It is.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah, I just thought that would be a good overview of like what that actually what your job entails before we kind of dive into the background, and then we'll kind of come back to a typical day of what it's like working as a concessions management specialist. So do you mind telling us a little bit about where and when you got your start in the National Park Service?
So I came to Yellowstone in 1998. I was a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed fisheries technician. So I started my career with the Park Service at Lake in Yellowstone, and I have never left.
So it hooked you.
It hooked me.
No pun intended.
Anyone get it? And how'd you hear about that job?
I think I heard about it through USA Jobs.
Awesome. Yeah, we have. And for those of you who don't know, who are listening to this and don't know what USA Jobs is, we do have an intro episode that kind of explains that, as well as some of the other jargon that we might talk about here. So just refer back to that if you have any questions. So you saw it on USA Jobs, you applied and you got it, and the rest is history.
And I drove my car out from South Carolina and I've never left.
Wow. Okay. So you're from South Carolina. So you're an East Coaster.
I am.
Okay. That's me too. And then you found the mountains.
And then I found the mountains.
Back. Gotcha.
Same.
So how did you get from that job, which is very different from what you do now? What was that transition like?
It is. So I worked for fisheries for 3 years. Then I moved to the bison office to follow my husband up to Mammoth. And then I just became a flexible park employee and did a variety of administrative roles. I was the natural resource admin assistant for the Center of Resources, which led me to a detail with at the time it was the planning, compliance, and landscape architecture division. So I was their admin assistant, where I made connections with people in that office that eventually would lead to my transitioning over to the commercial services division in an administrative role. And then I just worked my way up. I oversaw the commercial use authorization program for several years before I got my current job overseeing the Category 2 and 3 contracts.
Wow. So you've done a little bit of it.
I'm a jack of all trades.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's really cool.
I feel like that's a theme across these episodes. We've either had like people who decide this park is for me and then you make it work within that park, or some people say this is my job path I want to follow and go wherever they need to go to make that happen. Yeah. Or I guess the third type, which is they just want to work in as many parks as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of different ways you can spin an NPS career, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've been here and you've been at Yellowstone. I don't want to do the quick math. What did you say? 98?
25 years.
Okay.
And you know, and I am in a dual career family. Mm-hmm. So the fact that my husband also works for Yellowstone National Park has contributed to me being here.
Sure.
As long as I have.
Yeah. So how many like dinner table conversations are just focused on Yellowstone?
All the
or
time.
Are you guys just like, no, too all much Yellowstone. We got to talk about something else.
I live vicariously through his job. He's got a much more interesting job than mine.
Well, so what does he do?
He's bear management.
Okay. Okay. So, I think there's lots of interesting things in both of those.
Yes.
As in both of those jobs. So what is a typical day in your job look like? Is there a typical day?
Typically I'm in the office, on the computer, answering phone calls and emails. It's a lot of paper pushing, I guess you could call it. But part of that is just communicating with our concessioners. We review annual financial reports, preparing annual overall ratings, which I kind of liken that to a report card on how they're doing with their contracts.
Do you use a red pen?
I do not.
Oh.
I have one in my hand, but
That's what I was. You look like you're good at writing. Like F.
Yes, no, and we have very good concessioners. So
A plus.
We review insurance, risk management plans, all things that are outlined in their contracts. Part of my job requires periodic valuations of the concessioners, and this lets us get out into the park to monitor how they're doing, making sure they're meeting service standards as outlined in their operating plans, making sure they're providing a quality visitor service, making sure the facilities are well maintained, and just ensuring the safety of the visitor and their employees. The part that I like most is I occasionally get to go out on horseback rides, ride on snowmobiles, or even take a ski trip every once in a while. So that's what gets me out in the park. So that's what I like.
So you're kind of, are you doing like the undercover boss type of situation where you're like kind of hiding in the ranks of visitors?
We may entail secret shoppers, but usually they know who I am. So yeah, it's not quite as
secret. If you've been here 25 years.
Yes. It's hard to be secret.
Yeah. That sounds like a really, that's a really interesting part of that, is getting to test out those different, different ways of seeing the park. So that was a lot of different, functions and tasks that you have. So what do you think is the most important one to be successful at your job?
I think communication skills and establishing relationships is the most important part of my job.
Yeah, because you're talking with
a variety of people,
lots
from a variety of backgrounds.
Right.
Many of which I don't always relate to.
Sure.
So being flexible and just patient is a really good thing to keep in mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's definitely an important thing.
Yeah, I feel like this past winter we've seen a lot of that because we've had such crazy snow conditions, by which I mean until later in the winter, hardly any snow. So I've been on some of those calls and just seeing the like constant communication with people and trying to make everything work as best we can for them and for our visitors and all of that. It's given me a good insight into how much communication there is with all these businesses. And they, of course, have their own interests that are, they share interests with the Park Service, but they're also businesses. So they have very different things that they have to think about in terms of their long-term.
And Yellowstone's had a few hits lately with the flood.
Yeah.
The lack of snowfall. Just it's impacted different people in different ways the last few years.
Yeah, COVID. It can be challenging to operate businesses on a volcano with crazy weather and you know, you're at the whims of Mother Nature.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you kind of already touched on this, but is your favorite part of the job getting to go out on those snowmobile trips and pack trips and llama trips? And
anytime I can get out of the office is a good day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, if it includes the backcountry, it's even better.
So you actually get to go on like a backcountry camping trip, like overnight? Do you do overnighters?
I haven't done overnighters with the concessioners, but I have gone out with our backcountry rangers to do stock evaluations in the summer. So I've gotten to go to Beckler, which I had never been to until that.
Yeah.
Last summer I got to go to Thoroughfare.
Cool.
And so
some of the more remote areas of the park.
Yeah. Yes.
Both places I would like to go and haven't made it yet. Yep. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That sounds awesome. And I guess on the flip side of that, what's the toughest part of your job?
I think the toughest part of my job is just keeping up with everything. Mm. Even though Yellowstone is closed in the spring and fall, we're always preparing for the next season. And so we never get to take a break. And if you fall behind in the management of these contracts, the paperwork, it's hard to catch up. So just staying organized and on top of things is the hard part.
Yeah. I want someone to invent like this pause button.
Yeah.
You can just hit, no emails will come in, and like, you can just like catch up and then you can hit play again and then you'll be, but I haven't found that yet. So
some of our jobs have a sort of a pause button. They have the furlough.
I need a,
they're
a
not life, allowed need to check email furlough. For like 2 weeks or a month, but yeah, you're right. Yes. What about the regulations? Are they changing pretty often or do they stay fairly consistent?
I think they're staying pretty constant, but there are some tweaks that they throw at us every once in a while.
Yeah.
So we have to stay on top of those.
Yeah. I was wondering that. Continuing education.
Yes. There's definitely continued education aspect.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So you've, you know, even with those difficulties of, you know, just a lot of work coming at you, you've obviously done what you could to stay in the National Park Service and in Yellowstone National Park specifically. So why the National Park Service? You know, what's kept you around?
I think just working for an agency whose mission is to preserve our natural and cultural resources, since that is my background. And I grew up, my family took trips to the Great Smokies, Shenandoah. And so it's just been part of who I was prior to the Park Service. And so it just made sense when I landed here that I would stay.
Sure. I guess it's safe to bet that you hadn't snowmobiled in South Carolina too much before you got here.
There was many firsts out here.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things about this place is there's always a new experience kind of right around the corner that keeps you motivated, right?
Yes.
Yellowstone just gets some people and you just can't leave.
Yeah. Happened literally, you can't. They
you just
don't
want to come back. No. Yeah, literally. They won't.
None of us ever want to. So would you say that there's a defining moment in your career?
You know, I, having been here, this is my first and only park. And I think meeting my husband here and knowing that he wanted to stay here kind of defined my path. And so then I just had to redefine what my goals and ambitions were and find my place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Do you guys spend time in the park on the weekends and that, or are you guys,
we used to do that a lot more.
Yeah.
Now we have two teenagers, so they keep us pretty busy.
Yeah. Volleyball games and
volleyball games, basketball games. You know, that's the challenging part living in a remote area is that aspect of it.
So can you kind of touch on that really quickly? Like, that's an interesting perspective, raising a family in a remote location like this.
Yellowstone has been a fabulous place to raise kids, especially if you like the outdoors. But with that comes some sacrifices. We're an hour away from the nearest town, like big town for some recreational activities. But you just kind of have to roll with the punches. And if that's what you want to be involved with, you do it. We used to have them in ski school at Bridger Bowl every weekend. And we drive the hour and a half up there every Sunday. Soccer was in Livingston, which is an hour away. We had basketball tournaments and all of that. But we also threw in family trips, hiking, backpacking, fishing, rafting. I mean, you've got it all here. It's just, you have to, I mean, we're an hour away from the closest vet for your pets. Mm-hmm. So it takes a special person to live here. But if you love the outdoors, I think this is a great place to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the biggest, Miles, you've lived on the East Coast too. So like that was the biggest adjustment for me is just how like no one bats an eye when they're driving an hour and a half somewhere. That's like nothing to them. And I'm like, whoa, that's very far to me. When I first came here, that was like a weekend trip.
Yep.
Was an hour and a half. And so doing that just to go to the store is definitely an adjustment.
And I think, you know, like all of the parents that I know and have grown up with here, we all pitch in. We have daycare, we have preschool, we have a great school. Mm-hmm. And we all just probably have to do more here to be involved than you would on the East Coast or in larger metropolitan areas, but it creates that community as well.
Yeah, you probably don't find community like this in a lot of, I mean, this is pretty special.
It is pretty special.
That just can't happen otherwise because people are off doing their own thing, driving all over the place.
Yeah, there's no one else to do stuff for you here.
Yeah.
So it's like,
you kind of have to hang out.
Yeah. Like my son's been in preschool the past 2 years and I've been on the board because it's like only so many of us have a kid in preschool. And
I've done that.
Yeah. I've heard lots of people here told me that when I was moving here, they were like, well, you'll be involved in a lot of things because you have to be. And also everyone will try to recruit your kid for everything because they're a precious commodity.
They are.
They're a limited supply.
We need more kids.
Yes.
Yeah, no. So getting back to your job, so the Park Service mission is to, like you alluded to, preserve the natural and cultural resources for the enjoyment, education, and inspiration for this and future generations, those kids we were talking about. So with that in mind, how does your job contribute to that mission?
Well, I keep going back to when I was first interviewed for my administrative assistant position in the commercial services office, and Mary Murphy, who was a longtime employee of the park, made a comment that stuck with me, and she said, "Our division touches everybody's vacation. It impacts their experience." And so coming in, that's kind of motivated me to make sure that what I'm doing with our partners are contributing to that experience.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if someone has a bad experience, that they associate that with Yellowstone National Park and the National Park Service potentially.
And then also we work with our interpretive division to help educate our guides to be better educators for their clients that they take through the park. So It's a group effort.
Yeah.
I mean, something I've thought about a lot, I don't know how to quantify it, but I would guess that all of our concessioners spend more, certainly like longer term hours with visitors than any National Park Service employee.
Absolutely.
Because I feel like most people, if they interact with a National Park Service employee, it's going to be as a visitor at a visitor center desk, maybe for like a few minutes because we are busy and there's lines and people have questions. Or maybe they get to go on a ranger-led walk or talk. I mean, that's a small percentage, but even those maybe are going to be 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whereas concessioners, it can be all day or multiple days. It can be a really close relationship that people form. So I think about that a lot. I think in every park that I've worked at, that's been the case, that those really quality hours are often with a concessioner. So they're like a huge... not just an extension of what we do, but they contribute big time to that mission. Yeah,
for sure. So for someone who's listening to this and is like, man, that sounds like a cool job. I like a challenge. I like to go snowmobiling every once in a while. What's the series? Do you know your series in USA Jobs?
It's an 1101.
Okay. Okay, so that's what people can look at if they're interested in those, and that's concessions.
It's a concessions management specialist.
Okay.
And I believe they start at a GS7 and go all the way up to supervisory positions. I don't know what the series number, but there is a concessions management assistant that might be like a 6-7. But yes, we're all over the Park Service in every park.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the other great thing is that every park has those types of jobs. So if you want to move around the country, you can do that pretty easily.
Absolutely.
That's another great part of that job.
And every park is different in the contracts and commercial use authorizations and activities that they offer. So pick your park, pick your activity, and there's probably something out there for you.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And do you need formal training to qualify for those positions?
Obviously not.
lots of experience.
I come from a wildlife biology background. I think a business accounting finance experience would be beneficial. I've kind of had to learn on the job. But one thing that's helped me in Yellowstone is just my varied experience working here, and knowing people and programs and the willingness to be flexible and patient. It took me a while to get where I am, and I made some choices for my family that kept me from taking certain jobs. And there were certain jobs I didn't want, but I think those type things would be beneficial, for someone looking at this. I don't know that you need like an accounting degree, but I definitely think, you know, people that have run small businesses or worked in We have one of my coworkers worked, you know, in a cell phone company, just having that knowledge of other business, having that acumen would be helpful. That's where I've been lacking. So it's taken me a few years to train myself.
Sure. And so is your advice to just, would that be your advice for someone wanting that position? Just kind of be opportunistic and take what you can and kind of it'll work its way.
Yeah. And out. You know, there's been several details that come across that I would encourage people to take advantage of, to gain experience. Once you get into the program, our Washington office offers annual trainings, with asset management, pricing and evaluation, financial management, commercial use authorizations, to kind of bring everybody up to speed, because it is kind of a different aspect of the Park Service. And especially for those people in parks that have collateral duties, you know, you're superintendent, but you also have to manage the commercial services. It helps with those type things. But I do think there's some introductory trainings on DOI talent that anyone can take. Like, I think there's an introduction to commercial services, just to give you some background on the program.
Yeah, that give you that solid foundation to get started and kind of learn more about it. Well, that's great advice. I think super applicable to a lot of people listening. Do you have a favorite, before we let you go, do you have a favorite memory in Yellowstone National Park? I'm guessing you have a few in 25 years. But you can only pick one. That's my rule.
Okay. Well,
very strict.
After 25 years, I have too many. So I'm going to pick one that's not in Yellowstone.
Yeah, that's totally good.
Before I came to Yellowstone, I worked for the Fish and Wildlife Service in Vernal, Utah. And we worked in Dinosaur National Monument. So my favorite memory is just, I worked for an endangered fish project, electrofishing down the Yampa through the park. It was cool. My first job out of college and the best one ever.
Can you describe to those who don't know what electrofishing is? Because it sounds like some heavy metal band from the 80s or something.
Well, we had a raft with electrodes that came out from a boom on the front of the raft, and it had a platform, and we turned the generator on to create the current, and we would go through the rapids with the electricity on, and the fish would get stunned and float to the top, and we'd have large nets hanging off the front of the boat that we would scoop the fish up and bring them in and tag them if they were the right type of fish.
And no fish are harmed in that, correct? They are okay for our listeners out there. Did you get any like really weird random species that kind of floated to the top?
No, it was an endangered fish project. So we were looking for specific fish.
Mm. Okay.
And so they were few and far between, but
you just got to make sure that you don't fall in the water when those electrodes are on.
That's right? One of the like most amazing rafting canyons.
It's beautiful.
In the country.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
I would love to go back.
That's another group trip that we can take.
So through the gates of Lador.
That's the one section I have not done.
Gates of Lador. Yeah. My father-in-law's done it, and he's like, says it's, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Nice. And it's a great name.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, Becky, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been awesome learning a little bit more about what you do and how you contribute to the National Park Service mission. So just thanks for taking the time to talk to us and teach us a little bit more about it.
My pleasure.
All right. That's it for this week's episode of What We Do. Thanks again to our guest, Becky Wyman. If you like what we do, rate and review the show wherever you listen. Every positive review really helps new people find the show, so we appreciate it. If you have questions or want to learn more about a particular job, contact us using the form at go.nps.gov/whatwedopodcast. Thank you.